Smith Classic.
What did you say is on YouTube?
The McGillis Rushier.
Ah, okay.
Okay, and this one will be also. Okay, good morning, everyone. We're going to begin a new series, whereas we are not in shul, and we are maybe lacking on the conversations to have at our Shabbos tables. I hope not. But I want to share with you and give you some conversational topics, some Divrei Torah, specifically aimed and geared towards our Shabbos table. Be five thoughts to go. There are three meals over Shabbos, maybe have Kiddush in the middle, little spatzir with the family. There's always time for Torah. So five Divrei Torah. This week will be one on Sfiras HaOmer, one on Pirkei Avos, and three from the Parsha. And if we have extra time, we'll throw in an extra one for free. But we'll see if we have time. So the first, this is one of my favorite ideas regarding Sfiras HaOmer. Why is there no Shechianu? When it comes to every other mitzvah, as the Gemara says, any mitzvah that's mizman lezman, that we don't do so often, that is done at a very specific time in the calendar, for example, shofar, it gets a Shechianu, or lulav, it gets a Shechianu. Every yontif gets a Shechianu because it's only performed, the holiday is only, you know, celebrated and commemorated once a year. So it gets the holiday itself gets a Shechianu. There are very few mitzvahs that we could think of that don't warrant a Shechianu that we do mizman lezman. It could be that Sfiras HaOmer is the only one. And many people ask this question, are troubled by, why is it that Sfiras HaOmer does not have the mitzvah, a bracha, of Shechianu beforehand? Right? Bracha happens to be Shechianu, Sfiras HaOmer, and the notion of bracha is like a very big thing, right? Are you out? Are you in? Do you make a bracha? Do you not make a bracha? Right? The truth is, the halacha is, even if you miss the day and you can't make the bracha anymore, according to Moshe Rishonim, you're fulfilling a mitzvah from the Torah by still just counting, even though you missed the day. And that's important to note. But when it comes to Shechianu, which would theoretically be made by us on the second night of Pesach, which is the second Seder, it's made second night of Pesach everywhere in the world, but in Chutz Laretz, it's the second Seder. There are different minhagim when you begin counting the Omer. Should you say it in Shul at Maariv, or should you wait till the end of the Seder? In some of your Haggadot, I'm sure it's by Nirtza, beginning of Nirtza, or following Chagadiyah, you have a count for the Omer there. I'm of the opinion that you should count it when everybody's together, lest you forget. And that's always the more important thing when it comes to Sfira. If you remember, just say it, right? If it's like in Shkia time and you're afraid you're going to forget later, say it now. You're definitely Yotzei. It's better to say it after it says, but you're definitely Yotzei within the Shkia Zman as well. That's we. And if we're in Shul, davening Mincha Maariv every single week together, every single day together, we would be saying it after Shkia before it says. So now too, it definitely would be appropriate. And the goal is to remember and have that consistency. But the Baal Maor, or Zrachya Halevi, one of the Rishonim, who wrote his Perish on the Rif. The Rif was the first halachic Rishon to write a Perish on the Gemara. And the Baal Maor came from a town called Provence. Provence was a big yeshivish town. Chachme Provence. There are many great Gedolim that lived in Provence. And Zrachya Halevi wrote an attack on the Rif. Whenever he writes a comment on in the Gemara, it's on the Rif, in the back of the Gemara, and it's always an attack on the Baal Maor. And whenever the Baal Maor attacks the Rif, there is one of the Rishonim wrote a sefer to defend Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, and that was the Ramban. The Ramban wrote a sefer called Melchamos Hashem, the War of God, from the language of Melchamta Shel Torah, to defend the Rif against the onslaught of the Baal Maor. So the Baal Maor here asks the question at the end of Maseches Pesachim, why don't we make a Shechianu on Sfiras HaOmer? The Baal Maor answers very succinctly that Sfiras HaOmer is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. And it's not just any type of mitzvah d'Rabbanan. It is a Zecher L'Mikdash. Really, today we're only doing it to remember the past. Right, remembering what was done in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, because we have to know that Sfiras HaOmer is only kick-started, it only begins once the Korban HaOmer is brought on the second afternoon of Passover. Once that's done, then first afternoon. Okay, so then we bring the korban. Then we bring the korban omer. Then we count the sfirsa omer. But if we don't have that, the Baal Mor says, it's only a zecher lemikdash. It's a sad thing. It's a sad mitzvah to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we do it so we still will be fresh, right? If you look at all the athletes now, all the athletes are keeping up, I'm sure, as there's no sports being played in the USA. They're all keeping fresh, but it's all practice. They're practicing it to zecher to what they're going to do. Today we have a doubleheader because Jews, we can still have a doubleheader of Torah, right, Mendy? But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's just practice. So since it's just practice, and this language is, it's not a mitzvah that gives us any pleasure. Ein bo zecher l'shum hana'a. It's an amazing language. Mitzvah should give us pleasure. This mitzvah, Sfiras Omer, Rabbi Yudin would say, ouch, does not give us pleasure. It's not a pleasurable mitzvah. It's agmas nefesh. It should be hit us in the heart a little bit. Ow, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we say after we count Sfiras HaOmer, we count Yehi Ratzon Shibana Beis HaMikdash Meher V'Yemenu, because we're recognizing that we don't yet have the third Beis HaMikdash. That's the opinion of the Baal Mor. Rabbi Soloveitchik had a beautiful, way of understanding different understanding of the question of the Baal Mor. The Baal Mor asked, why no Shechiyanu? So the Rav said, when do we make a Shechiyanu? What's the goal of the bracha of a Shechiyanu? He says, a Shechiyanu is only said over a mitzvah that is done right now, and it's completed right now. Right? I blow shofar, I did the mitzvah, I heard the blast, I'm done. I shook the lulav, I am done. I completed my mitzvah. The ends and the means is all right now. It's completed. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of Shechiyanu, it's not a mitzvah that is a one-moment mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's a 49-step process. Each day, we do another part of the mitzvah. And therefore, you can't make a Shechiyanu in a mitzvah that has many stages and many levels to it, right? When it comes to the Sfiras Omer, our Sfarim say, it's a time of growth. And every day of the Sfira, we're not just physically just counting a day. We are trying to work on ourselves and perfect ourselves to get to the moment of Ma'amad Har Sina. And therefore, a Shechiyanu is not warranted in this time. Rabbi Ginnak from Englewood and the head of the OU Kashrus in his Sefer writes a further point on this. He says that is why we don't make a Shechiyanu at a wedding. We don't make a Shechiyanu at a wedding because it's not this moment. That's not the whole mitzvah. The mitzvah of the Chasan and Kala is to start to build a home, to have a journey together that begins right now, but it continues throughout their life. It's a life of Shechiyanu, a life of newness and freshness and a life of growth, but it begins now and continues for their whole life. And I want to say also, when it comes to a bris milah, somebody just called me yesterday, somebody not from our community, they had a baby on Shabbos last week, and the bris is going to be on Shabbos, right? So the Moel's walking in, it's in Teaneck, so Dr. Jerry Friedman can walk in for the bris, and it's the husband and wife, the baby, and Eliyahu Navi. It's a five-person bris, right? He says his parents can walk in, they can be outside in the window. It's amazing. It's amazing what we're going through. So, right, so he can't even get a Zoom. It's hard. So at a bris, we don't make a Ashkenazi. Svardim do make a Shechiyanu. But I want to say that also, we don't make a Shechiyanu in Ashkenazi bris. Why is that? Because we say, Tegadlo l'Torah u'l'chuppah u'l'masim tovim. This is one moment in time. It's a very important mitzvah, but it's part of a bigger picture. And since it's part of a bigger picture, we don't make the Shechiyanu right now. That is idea one from the Baal Mor and Rabbi Soloveitchik. Moving on to thought number two. This comes from the Imre Baruch. The Imre Baruch is one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Baruch Simon. Where am I going to start here? So we'll start with the following. We are Nohag Minhag Sfira, by the way. We all should know. It was in the email yesterday. You may not have read it. You can get a haircut tomorrow. The last time this happened was 9 years ago. But since it's Erev Shabbos and Erev Rosh Chodesh, right? Since it's both of those, right? It's a double team, double whammy. It's double simcha. You can get a haircut on Erev Shabbos tomorrow. Not tonight, but tomorrow you can get a haircut. So, but we're Nohag Minhagei Sfira because of Rabbi Akiva's students that died. So Rabbi Simon shares a very interesting medrash that gives a slight different wording to this, to what happened. And he says the following: what was so bad about these people, these students of the Talmidim? What did they do wrong? So he says, and to see if I can find the language in here. Amar lahem arishonim lo mesu ele mipnei shehaisa inayim tzara b'torah. Why did they die? Because they had tzaras ayin. Tzaras ayin, it's hard to define in English. I think it's even a Yiddish word, tzaras ayin. Narrow-mindedness, the inability to share, the inability to give over to others, and the feeling that I just want to keep everything on my own, and I don't want to give to others. Somebody said somebody raising their hand, was that by purpose or by accident?
I'm raising my hand.
Okay, Jules, what do you want to share?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, in Hanukkah, we make a vlog of Shekhiyonu, and yet it's for 8 days. Okay, so how each come we make a Shekhiyonu?
Each day was a new miracle. That's a great question. Each day was a brand new miracle. It was supposed to last for just one day. Every day within itself that it lasted another time was a new miracle. That's why, but by only the first day gets a Shekhiyonu, because it's a new moment in time, not every day. Oh, so you're saying every day should get a Shekhiyonu. It's a good, fair question. We only do it once because it's a new miracle every day, but the time is the mitzvah.
Okay.
Okay. So what was wrong with Rabbi Akiva's students? They had tzaras ayin. Tzaras ayin. This is selfishness, not arrogance, but I don't want to share with others. I want to keep everything for myself. It happens to be the Gemara in Erchin tells us that tzaras, one of the causes of tzaras is tzaras ayin. And he says that we look at tzaras ayin sometimes only in the world of gashmias. I don't want to give tzedakah. I have a hard time sharing my, you know, what I've been given with other people. I have a hard time doing that. But he says, this is what happened to Rabbi Akiva's students. They wouldn't share. They had tzaras ayin. They wouldn't share their Torah with their chavrusas, with their friend, with their chevra. And that caused this destruction, this avdon, the kilyon, amongst Klal Yisrael. Amongst Klal Yisrael. What's fascinating is, I'll share with you a beautiful mission now. We're at the second parak of Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students. Before he had five students, he taught the following Mishnah. In Lamadat Torah Harbei, Al Tachzik Tova Liatznacha. If you learned a lot of Torah, it's a beautiful beautiful vort. Al Tachzik Tova Liatznacha. If you learned a lot of Torah, Al Tachzik Tova Liatznacha literally means don't pat yourself on the back. Why? Ki Lakach Notzarta, because that's why you were created. However, Rabbi Simon quotes one of the Rebbe's that says the following. Al Tachzik Tova Liatznacha. We say in Shabbos morning davening, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, Torah si al ta'azovu. Torah is called tov. And now plug this back into the Mishnah. In lamadata Torah harbing, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tafsik tov liatzmacha, you can't keep the tova, the Torah for yourself. Ki lekach nosarta, we were created to share the Torah with others. You heard a beautiful vort? Call up your son. Call up your daughter. Call up your friend. I want to share this with you. Tell your wife at the Shabbos table. Tell your children. Tell your grandchildren. Hey, God, ki lekach notzarta, we were created to share the Torah with others. And then the Mishnah continues and says that he had five students. Five students, we're not going to get into who they were and their personalities. And he asked each one of his students, tell me what is the most important midah that you should that we should have in this world that we should attain. So one said a ayin tova, a good eye. Another said a good neighbor, a good friend, looking into the future, have a perspective in life. And the last one was Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar said, what's the most important midah? Lev tov. They have a good heart. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that Rav Elazar ben Aruch, the last opinion, was correct. And not only was he correct, but Lev Tov includes all the other midos that all of his other students said. Rabbi Simon says that it's not by accident that these two things come together. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one that taught us that you have to share the Torah with other people. That's number one. Number two, his student, his prize student, who was greater than the other one, said Lev Tov. You have to have a good heart. Good heart means to give to others. He says it's the opposite. P'yotza b'nei saschar, it's the opposite of tzaras ayin. Tzaras ayin is to hold and hoard for ourselves, to keep. And Lev Tov is to give, to have an open heart, to share with others. And what's fascinating is the gematria. Go to Pinchas Friedman, who is one of the Belzer Rosh Kollel in Eretz Yisrael, his beautiful Sfarim on Chumash, who writes like this. What's the gematria of Lev Tov? No, what's the gematria of Lev Tov? Lev is 32. Tov is 17. So Lev, 32 plus 17 is
49.
Those are the 49 days of the Sfira. But even better, Lev, right? Lev is 32. When did Talmidim stop dying? On day 33. Only when the Tov began. Only in the days of Tov. Lev is okay. Like, we all have a heart. But what do you do with your heart? You have a Lev Ra. You have a Tzaras Ayin. You have a Lev Tov. It's only when the Tov began for Klal Yisrael, the 33rd day in the Omer, that's the Talmidim finally learned that lesson of Tzaras Ayin. They began to share again, and that's when the Talmidim stopped perspiring.
Who brings down the Lev Tov?
That is Rav Pinchas Friedman. He's a Belzer Rosh Kollel in Eretz Yisrael today. He's live today. Okay, moving on. Number three from the Parsha. One question that we can ask on the Parsha, we had Parsha Shmini last week, which discussed the tragic story of Nadav and Avihu. It also had the building of the Mishkan. Finally, the Mishkan is resting amongst Klal Yisrael. Then we have Kashrus at the end. We have a little bit about childbirth. And then we have two Parshios basically dedicated towards Saras. What's the order here? Why is Saras coming up now? How is that relevant? Especially in light of the fact that Vayikra is really Korbanos. So what does this have to do with Korbanos? Is it just the point that a Mitzor brings a Korban at the end of the day? Like, what's the connection here? So I have two perspectives here. One is from the Ramban. The Ramban writes very simply that the book of Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim. And again, this is a question, ask this at your table, and I'm sure you're going to get so many different, different answers. Why is it connected to, it goes from Kashrus to childbirth to Tzaras. Like, what's going on here? So the Ramban says very practically that the job of a Kohen was not only to bring Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was to render Hora'ah, to give Psak to the Jewish people and to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. And part of their responsibilities was to make determinations over people about whether they have Tumat Tzaras or not. Are they a Mitzora? Are they not? Is this Tzaras? Is it not Tzaras? So it's coming after all the other functions. It's another function of the Jewish, of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Ramban. That's the answer to the Ramban. It's a very functional part, and it belongs in the Mishnah. It belongs here in Vayikra. The Sforno quotes this in the beginning of at the end of last week's Parsha, in the beginning of the Halachos of Kashrus. And it's a very long piece. I'm going to summarize it with the following. The Sforno writes, if you look at the progression of the Torah, right, what happens? You have Matan Torah, amazing, the most important seminal moment in Klal Yisrael in Jewish history. Then you have Chet Egel. They lose it all. And now he writes, what happens after Chet Egel? The Jewish people are in recovery mode. sometimes, right, your computer is going bad. It's in safety mode. It's in recovery mode. So the Jewish people were in recovery mode for a long time. There was a give and take. There was tshuva. There was davening. There was tefillah. There was tzaka. Things changed, right? According to Rashi, they had to bring a mishkan. They didn't need a mishkan beforehand. Things changed. And he writes, after the Jewish people lost their status, their spiritual status that they acquired in Matan Torah, they needed to get back. They needed to get it back, right? And he sees that's what's happening now. He sees it as a progression. What's happening now, the Sforno says, they needed a Mishkan. Great. When did the Mishkan finalize? When did it concretize in this world? The beginning of Parsha Shemini. That's what happened in the beginning of Parsha Shemini. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the Jewish people that we are special and unique and that we are Nitan. We are, our neshamos give us this unique spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do we see that? He says in two areas. Number one, and it continues afterwards, but we see it right now in Kashrus. Kashrus is just for us. It really separates us in many ways from the rest of the world, where we can eat, where we can't eat. I don't have to tell you, business meetings are awkward and challenging, or they're not, and lunches and many deals are made over food and how you handle that. That's a lot of business ethics today with the modern Jewish businessman or woman. And then you move on. But that shows that we have this spiritual tendency that our neshama can handle certain foods for whatever reason. And then we have Parshas Tazria. Parshas Tazria Mitzora teaches about the laws of Tzaras. Tzaras are only given to those that have a spiritual soul, that have a unique spiritual connection. The Rambam writes that Tzaras is not a physical malady. It is not leprosy. Rav Hirsch has like 10 pages on this in the middle of Parshas Tazria. It's not a physical. It's completely, completely spiritual. And it shows that we have this unique connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? We are, you know, we have our neshamas connect. Straight up to Shemayim. Therefore, we have this spiritual connection. And that's a progression of Sefer Vayikra. It's not just about korbanos. It's showing our unique connection that we have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, our spiritual connection that we have with him, and that's the progression of the parashios. It's a very powerful, powerful parasha from that perspective. We don't have it. We don't have it because we're not living in that time. We don't have this. We can't appreciate it as much. Number four, moving on. Number four. I saw this Or HaChaim and I was really blown away. This Or HaChaim here has a lot of modern psychology thoughts. And you can ask the question, the introduction to the mitzvah of Tzaras, or the whole process of Tzaras, is the following pasuk. Adam ki hiyeh b'or b'saro se'eso sapachas o b'heres v'yeh b'or b'saro l'nega Tzaras v'huva Aaron HaKohen, Alacham Yibanav HaKohanim. So when a person has one of these lesions, one of these inflictions, they have to bring it to Aaron HaKohen. The pasuk says, Or Bisaro, on the skin of their flesh. Says Yor Chaim, that's a very backwards way to say it. Right? Right afterwards, the language is Or Bisaro. Why here? Why here does the pasuk say Bi'or Bisaro and not just say that the person had a lesion, had a nega on their or, on their basar, on their skin, but it says on their skin of their flesh. It's a double language here. So says the Or HaChaim, and I'm quoting inside, Modi HaKasav, Shein Tumat Tzaras B'Isha Yisraeli, Ela B'or Bisaro V'lo Bifnim. The Or HaChaim wants to teach us a very important lesson. He says to teach us that the nega tzaras does not affect our insides, does not affect our pnimius of who we are as people. It only affects our externals. It only affects our outer external part of our skin, or bisaro, the skin of our flesh. Only the outside was affected. The pnimius, right? we are perfect. The pnimius, there's always something inside of all of us that can help us get closer and closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What it takes to become a mitzora is a lot of work, right? It's a lot of ignoring God's calls. You call in the Kohen, you have 7 days where you don't do anything. Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm talking about quarantine. This is the first quarantine in the Torah. And then you have to continue on that path and to not be chozer b'tshuva. In a time where there were Nevi'im and there were Kohanim, they were telling you, you need to change, we need to change. And yet you don't, you ignore all that. Then we have to go michutz l'machane. Says Yor Chaim, that even that person that made really bad choices in their life, those are choices. Those don't define who they are as a person. It's only on their or bisara, only on their outside, but it doesn't define who they are inside, right? I was just reading, I'm reading this great book from Lubavitcher Rebbe, not from him, but one of his students, called Positivity Bias. I think next week we're going to talk about this at greater length. He writes there, it's a great story, where George Rohr was one of the biggest benefactors to Lubavitch. And George Rohr once came to the Rebbe and said to him, Rebbe, I just ran a Seder for 130 Jews who have zero Jewish background. Zero background. And he said, zero background? What does that mean? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. No. Sarah Rivka Rachel Valeya. Every Jew has a Jewish background. They may not be knowledgeable, but every Jew has a background. So that's what the Or Chaim HaKadosh is telling us, right? Our choices don't need to define who we are. People make poor choices, but it doesn't define who they are. This is how it works within education. Education, we don't say a child is a bully. Say a child's a bully, what happens? I'm a bully. That's who I am. That's my label. We don't give people labels. You say you're making choices that a bully would make. That's a very different way to say it. And a person has a different perspective on who they are. You know, a young child, young brain, a young mind. That's not who I am. You're right. That's not who I am. And that's your chayim. Adam ki abor bisara. It's on the outside. Yes.
So, Taras, I think, comes from, one of the things that it came from was from speaking Lashon Hara, correct?
Correct.
Right. So that's coming from inside your mouth coming out. That's why maybe it did externally. With kashrus, you're taking something and putting it into your mouth, and that affects your neshama.
Okay, very interesting. Interesting. I have to think about that more. Okay. And I think we're not going to have time for number six, but we'll definitely do number five. This is a great Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. It's a Chassidish Torah, but it's very good. The Mishnah in Pirkei in Maseches Nagayim. There is a Maseches Nagayim. There's 14 chapters on laws of Tzaras. Complicated Mishnayos, but we may have more time now than we ever have. Learn a Mishnah day of Maseches Nagayim. Kol Hanagayim Adam Rohen. Literally means any nega a person can see. Chutz mi negiyasma, except for their own Nagayim. This Mishnah, truth is, it's only referring to a Kohen. The Mishnah halachically is referring to a Kohen, that a Kohen is allowed to look at any other Negayim of other people, right? You'd have the Kohen in speed dial. You call the Kohen and say, I think I have a Negat Saras. And he come over and make a determination. So he can look at any Negayim except for his own Negayim. That's literally what the Mishnah says. Rav Meir says he can't even look at Negayim of his relatives. He might be biased. But the Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, sees in here a very important lesson. There's really two lessons here, one from the Baal Shem Tov and one from his student, the Apter Rav, Avram Yeshua Heschel, the Oiv Yisroel. So the Baal Shem Tov writes here, Kol HaNegayim Adam Roa Chutz Minigi Atzma. Perish Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Kol HaNegayim Ashadam Roa Chutz. Got to change the comma over here. Kol HaNegayim Adam Roa Chutz. We're all really good at seeing flaws in other people. No, we're really great at pointing out all the flaws in our spouses, in our children, in the guy that's sitting next to me in shul. We're really great at finding all of those flaws. What about the flaws in ourselves? So the Baal Shem Tov says, if you want the roadmap to see what Hashem is trying to tell you that you ourselves need to work on, this is the roadmap. Kol hanegayim shadam roachutz. All the negativity and the mistakes and the failings that you see in other people, right? Zenimshach minigiatzman. This comes from our own personal negayim. This comes from our own personal mistakes. And Hashem says, the Baal Shem Tov was saying, that if we see these in other people, it must be because this is what we need to work on ourselves. Kol hanegayim shadam roachutz. Whatever we see outside, it's projected. It could be they have the same mistake. It's not a problem. But Hashem makes us see it, puts us in the position to see it, to dafka. Say, hey, Markowitz, you need to work on that. That's something that you need to work on. You keep seeing that in other people. It's something that you need to work on yourself. And that's why the Mishnah Gemara says, kol haposel b'mumo posel. Anyone that apostles somebody else and says, oh, this is why this guy is no good, this girl is no good, it's really bimumo posel, it's really on you. It's really on you. And we'll stop here with the Baal Shem Tov. Maybe later we'll discuss the Ovi Yisrael, but that's a beautiful way. So we discussed five different thoughts. Number one is, why is there no Shechianu at Sirius Omer? Number two, Lev Tov, the progression of the days of the Omer. And we discussed the Seder Parshios, why does Mitzor come here? Number four is, be careful with our words. You are Chayim HaKadosh or Bisaro. We're so careful the way that the Kadosh Baruch Hu words that in the Torah. And number five is, what do we need to work on? How do we know that? Kol HaNegayim Adon Roachutz. I wish everybody a great day. And you should be healthy. We're going to see you in 1 second, Claire. And we'll see everybody at 11:30.